my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus' fourth words from the cross. Forsaken. The word literally means to abandon, to let go, to leave alone. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why did God the Father turn his back on his only son in this moment of greatest agony? Was Jesus' cry really a question, or was it a declaration expressing his total agony? I'm not sure that we have the capacity to understand the words and the meaning of Jesus' fourth statement from the cross. Martin Luther, in preaching from the text of Matthew, said, God forsaking God, who can understand? We struggle to understand. Some have said Jesus, being a religious man, a holy man, a righteous man, was doing what many holy, religious, righteous people do in the midst of pain and sorrow and impending death. Jesus was quoting Scripture. Those words, my God, you can find that first sentence in Psalm 22. David, writing that psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away from me, David wrote. Every day I call to you, but you do not answer. Many believe that Jesus quoted all of Psalm 22, because Psalm 22, excuse me, ends in a positive way. Why, oh God, why? But you are faithful. Others say that Jesus started saying Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken? But because of the agony and the pain and the suffering, he could not finish. So Matthew and Mark wrote just the first sentence, or maybe that was all that Jesus said. Others say it had nothing to do with Jesus quoting Scripture. Jesus was totally human. Totally human. Human, hanging on the cross, a man suffering, Jesus in the flesh, he felt totally abandoned, forsaken by God. Many have adopted the interpretation that Jesus, being our substitutionary atonement, that Jesus, taking all the sin of all humanity for all time, that when Jesus took sin upon himself, that because he was sin, God the Father could not have relationship with him. That God had to abandon Christ because Christ became total sin. It seems that Paul mentions that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Paul said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So if we're looking to figure out what did Jesus mean, I can't tell you. I don't understand all that's in that. Maybe it's a combination of what these scholars have said. Maybe Jesus was quoting the entire psalm. Maybe his agony, he just quoted a part. Maybe it had nothing to do with Psalm 22. Maybe Jesus being so human, or maybe it was that atoning sacrifice. We don't know. But I want us to look at the words, forsaken. Why? Why, oh God, have you abandoned me? Have you ever been forsaken? Have you ever experienced an abandonment, a bond in a relationship that was just totally destroyed? Often in families, there is something that happens and we absolutely feel forsaken and abandoned by another family member, maybe parent, child, sibling. But I see it more in friendships. You know, you invest in a friendship. You can't choose your family, but you can choose your friend, and you choose a friend, and you invest in that friendship, but something happens, and the friendship is destroyed. And that bond that was so strong is broken. And there is totally a feeling of forsakenness and abandonment. And they may even defriend you from Facebook. And the friendship dies. It's over. It's gone. And you're alone. To be abandoned by a family member, to be abandoned by a friend is so painful. But to be abandoned by God. David felt that way. I mentioned Psalm 22. I'd encourage you to read all of Psalm 22 sometime. David said, God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. You don't hear my groaning, David said. When I cry out to you, oh God, you are deaf. David, in total transparency, feels forsaken, abandoned, and deserted by God. Now, he had every reason to feel that. Saul was seeking to kill him. David's, one of his own sons was seeking to kill him as well. Everyone was out to get King David. His family was in shambles, and he felt totally deserted by God. And he says, God, oh God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But it's not just David. Think about Job. He lost his family, lost his land, lost his animals, lost his children, lost his wife, lost his health. He lost it all. Job screams out at God, why? Why, God, have you forsaken me? I wonder, in the last month, how many Ukrainians have yelled at God, why? We are innocent. A crazy man decided to take over our country. Our children are dead. Our families are gone. Why? Total abandon. God, where are you? Where are you? Perhaps even now, you, unbeknownst, maybe to the one sitting right next to you, unbeknownst to anyone but you, you feel forsaken by God. It's your last thought when you go to bed at night. It's your first thought when morning comes. You feel abandoned by God. Now, from the cross, Jesus has offered a prayer, Father, forgive them. And Jesus, to the thief next to him, offered him paradise to be with Jesus. And he looked upon his mother and his dear friend, and he addresses them. But suddenly this fourth word is so different. He's not asking God to forgive. He's not talking to his mother or his friend. He's not talking to a thief and offering paradise. He is talking directly to God. My God, my God. You've deserted, abandoned, forsaken, left me. Why? Why? The kids are honest. Why? Just why? I want to share three thoughts on why this morning. Here's the first. It is okay to ask, to cry, to yell, why to God. To feel the pain and the sadness to feel that you've been abandoned and left alone, to have those feelings and to vent those feelings directly to God is perfectly normal. God made you. God created us with this capacity to have feelings and emotions. God created us with a brain and a heart, and He gave us lips to speak. God's okay with us asking why. It was okay for David. My God, why have you forsaken me? David, in many of the Psalms, he offers an honest, transparent lament. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, must I wait? Have you forgotten me? Said David in Psalm 13. It was okay for David. It was okay for Job. The Bible says Job was a blameless man. And yet he felt abandoned and deserted and forsaken. And he shouts at God, why? And so can you. Jesus, on the cross, in a moment of what seemingly is the deepest, darkest abandonment, fully human, Jesus says, why? Oh, church, hear me. When you feel abandoned and forsaken, cry out to God. Plead with God. Take all of your cares and your cries and your whys. Take them to God. God's big enough for that. God is big enough for that. And I believe that when we go and we take our whys to God, we're in pretty good company. David, Job, and Jesus all turned to God, their Father, with their whys. And so can you. Secondly, in the midst of calling and asking why, keep hanging on to God. In 1872, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, preaching on this text from Matthew, said this: in Jesus' darkest hour, with night all around him and night within him, he clung to God with both hands. Facing left, he yelled, my God. And facing right, he yelled, my God. Jesus was clinging to God with both hands in the midst of his horrific situation. He clung to God with all his might during the darkest hour of his life. Now you must cry out and cling to God as well. Spurgeon continued, it's easy to believe in God when life smiles on you, but it's much more difficult to hang on to God when life frowns on you. It's easy to believe in God when all is going well and the path is smooth and easy, but how difficult it is to believe and trust when the path is rocky and difficult. But you can call out, but cling to God with both hands. When the doctor says the cancer is malignant, you might get your life in order. You call out to God. Why? But hang on to God with both hands. When that child sits before the court and the jury says guilty and the judge reads and they handcuff that child and off they go to the penitentiary, you yell out to God. It seems like the judge is against you and the jury's against you and the society's against you. And maybe it feels like God is against you. You call out to God. You call out, why? But cling to God with both hands. When you come home and the house is quiet and the closet is empty and the suitcase is gone and the note says, I'm gone, it's over. You yell, go ahead and scream, cuss if you must, but hang on to God with both hands. With both hands. Hang on to God. And finally this, remember that why is not the last word. Psalm 22 begins with that question, why, oh God, have you deserted and abandoned me? Why, God? But then the psalmist says, but I will declare your name to all the people. I will praise you in all the assembly. You who hear the Lord, praise him. All people revere him. He has not despised or scorned or afflicted you. He has not hidden his face from you. He hears your cry. Why is not the last word? Job who lost it all. In chapter 19, Job says, but I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see my God. Psalm 22 that I mentioned, remember what it leads right up to. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Why, oh Lord, have you, why, oh Lord, have you deserted me? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. He guides me. He comforts me. He restores my soul. Jesus' last words from the cross. The fourth word, my God, why? That's not the final word. The cross is never the end. Easter always triumphs over Good Friday. Listen, there are days when it is so dark. There are days when it is so dark. There are nights that are so long. Some of you are there. Some of you have just been there, and some of you are about to go there. It is so dark, and you have so many questions, so many whys. And even as you hang on to God, the darkness seems overwhelming. You keep hanging on to God. Keep coming to God and remember that God is still there, because morning does come. We believe in God when we can't see him. We believe and hang on to God when we can't hear him. But joy comes in the morning. Trials dark on every hand. We cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. And often our cherished plans have failed. Disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. And we wonder why. Why the test when we try to do our best, but maybe, perhaps, we'll understand it better. Not fully, but better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story. How we've overcome. And we'll understand it better by and by. Shall we pray? Thank you, oh God, for being that type of God. A God. God that says, come to me with all your questions. I'm here. A God who is not put off with our questions and our whys. A God who does not chastise us when we question, but a God that says, you bring them all to me. God, at times we do feel abandoned and forsaken. But I think deep in our heart, we know that you're still there. And we still hang on. We hang on with both hands. And if we had three, we'd hang on with all three. We don't understand things now. Good Friday didn't make a lot of sense. It looked like death had won. The world said Jesus was dead. The stone sealed the tomb. They said, that's it. But then came Sunday. Then came Sunday. Thank you, God, for being our God. In Christ's name we pray.